Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. We're spending this episode focusing on what's worth living for. We expect that it's different for each of us and compelling enough to dominate our own thoughts and conversations. We have resources to help with those conversations within groups or other trusted relationships at fabricmpls.com.
Hi, Fabric.
Hello.
I'm Chris Lillehei.
And I'm Jenny Lillehei.
And we're going to be hanging out with you for a little time period here to be community together in this virtual world that we're all living in. We are in the midst of a conversation series as a community of life worth living. And I'm not going to lie, when we started kind of planning this message 6 weeks ago or so, the world looked very different. And so we are kind of experimenting along with you of what this kind of a message can look like.
So we're inviting you into our home and into our space. You know, we're talking to you on a phone propped up on some boxes in our living room. So just be patient with us as we navigate this and explore these ideas together.
And so part of what this series is about is life worth living for. And also we've kind of thought about what does the tools that we talked about in our last series as a community, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to those, I recommend the podcast, but the tools of Care IQ in the midst of a pandemic, and how do we refine those tools? And we got an opportunity to practice it as a community, and now we get to live into it a little bit more. And so we're really excited about being with you this time period and talking about these things.
And we just want to acknowledge that while everyone's going through all that COVID-19 is bringing, we're all in different spaces. Some of you may be on your own and not have a wider circle to lean on right now. Some of you may be single parents trying to figure out how do you parent and work and balance all those responsibilities and stay safe. Some of you may have already experienced hardship and loss, whether it's just in 2020 or recently of just loss or financial hardship, and so you've already been experienced heaviness, and this just feels like it's compounding on it. Some of you may be sick or are really fearful of those that around you are going to get sick, and so many more situations and dynamics. And so we just wanted to acknowledge that while we're speaking kind of from our kind of reference and our experience, that we're hoping that this creates space for everyone, regardless of what situation you're in.
Yeah, the only other people group that I wanted to point out was just thank you to all those in the medical world and the first responder world, the pharmacists, those that have the grocery store workers, all of those people that still have to work in the midst of this, and we just really thank you and lift you up as well. And what that looks like is different for all of us, but also, sorry about that. So we just thank you for being with us during this time, and we really appreciate the opportunity to walk alongside all of you as we're discovering what it means to be woven deeply in a community that matters.
So a Brené Brown quote that I found helpful to consider is, this pandemic experience is a massive experiment in collective vulnerability. We don't have to be scary when we're scared. Let's choose awkward, brave, and kind, and let's choose each other.
And so we're going to lean into that today, and we're going to be awkward. That's the reality of who Jenny and I are. And we're going to also try to be brave and kind and invite you into our space and do this thing together. And so we look forward to seeing hopefully a lot of you on Zoom on Sunday morning and can continue this community growth together.
So to get us started, I think I just wanted to own that it's been messy for me as a person, as a spouse, as a mom, as a mental health provider, as a manager in an organization, and I've really found myself caught between a lot of feelings, like, do I panic? You know, how much social media am I taking in? You know, when am I reading the most reliable information? Or would I be best just to stay uninformed and kind of avoid what other people are experiencing and really just tuck into my own. You know, how do I even help anybody? How do I help myself? What does rest look like? And, you know, tying to kind of what we'll be talking about today is like what really matters and how to stay connected with who I am.
And I think that's a hard, all those things are hard on normal times, but in particular these times, it's even harder to feel grounded and feel connected to something bigger than ourselves, whether it's our community or that God strand. I think all of that is really difficult. And so one of the things that Jenny and I have been talking a lot about is what does it look like to create some routine or some normalcy, whatever that looks like in the midst of this, and how important that really is to realize that the world is continuing to spin, because sometimes it can feel like it's spinning out of control or stop spinning in, at all. And that can be pretty frightful. And so what does it look like to have some aspect of routine or normalcy in the midst of all of this?
Right. And there's so much changing and every day is different, whether it's we're social distancing or shelter in place. And, you know, so many working from home, like those things have changed. But how do we hold on to some of the things that in our day haven't changed? Like whether it's waking up and exercising or, you know, having breakfast as a family or, you know, just those practices of reading or things that you would do regardless of what was happening outside in the world, and what that means for me as an individual or you as an individual. And then what does that look like in the context of the relationships that you're in, and where can you maybe grieve the things that aren't the same and celebrate the things that haven't changed, and hold both.
Yeah. And I think we all know this, but it's a really good reminder to part of that is just ensure kind of the basics so that you're getting good sleep, that you're eating, that you're exercising still, that you are doing things in your routine that keep you healthy in other times, and look to those, continue to look to those in the midst of this. I know that a big thing for me in the mornings is to get my heart rate going and to get my kind of breathing under control, is to work out right as soon as I wake up in the morning. And that really helps me, because I wake up with that pit in my stomach and open up the news the first thing just to make sure the world hasn't fallen apart, and it inevitably has to some extent. And so I get really panicked right in the morning. And so it's been really helpful for me to do exercise right away, and that way kind of get my heart rate and my breathing under control. And that's been really helpful. And it's been helpful to have Jenny kind of kick my butt out of bed and get going as well, because sometimes it's hard to do those things and I don't feel like doing them, even if they're the best things for me. That self-maintenance that we talked about a few weeks ago in Care IQ, I think is really, really important to lean into at this point.
Because we've talked about this as a community before, but you can't pour from an empty cup. And so it's really important that we're finding ways, they may be creative right now, but to fill ourselves up so that we can be present for ourselves and for those in our community as we can. And I think, you know, with it too, it's also okay to be anxious. Mm. It's a primal part of our brain. In these situations, it's natural. Like fight or flight is something that is scientifically based, and we know it happens. And so it's part of surviving, and it has a function, right? It helps us to, as we are individually, as families, as a community, figuring out what do we need to do to stay safe and, you know, what that means. But we also need to hold, you know, it so it doesn't consume us. And so we don't want it to define us or be all we're doing, because neurons that fire together wire together. And so if we're in a heightened state all the time, that's going to become a bigger pattern for us. And so how can we create times to maybe interrupt that or shape that a little bit and have it more under our control?
And I think a big part is to invite others into that process and to really seek the help of our community. And that might look virtually for a lot of us, which is, I'm going to be honest with you, uncomfortable and not where I naturally seek this stuff. But I think it's really important to have those times together and recruit others to be a part of this. And I think another point that goes along with that is look to where we can have curiosity about what that fear really looks like. I have a tendency to want to kind of push down that anxiety and pretend it doesn't exist, or to patchwork, you know, put a Band-Aid over it and pretend that it's all better. And I've realized within myself that sometimes taking that moment to really look into that fear and say, what am I actually afraid of in this moment, is really helpful, although really scary. And to do that in kind of a safe space, whether to contact a therapist and do telehealth, or to contact a trusted friend, and to recruit others to be a part of that process.
And, you know, like we've said, like, that everyone is experiencing some level of anxiety and fear right now. And so, you know, for you figuring out what's best, and I think, you know, important, like in meditation practices, you know, there's the idea of noting it and then like moving on. And so not necessarily suppressing it or denying it, or, you know, narratives about shame or guilt that that's what you're feeling, you know, just holding it. And then also just trying to put it in perspective that this is a unique situation, and how can you help yourself? And if you can't, who can you go to?
Yeah, and I think that brings us kind of our next point, which is to check our perspectives in the midst of this messiness, in the midst of this hardness. So one of the things that Barbara Brown Taylor suggested is kind of, what is saving you right now? Not in the eternal sense, but in the, like, what is actually kind of rescuing you right now, and how can you name that?
It's gratitude for just, it could be something really small, like the cup of coffee you get to have before you have to check work emails, or the opportunity to step outside now that the weather is getting a little bit nicer in Minnesota, that you can catch a fresh breath of air and get out of your stale house. You know, it could be a variety of different things, but really what's helping you stay grounded and help you keep that perspective.
And there's a sense of this gratitude that I think is really important for us to sit with and to acknowledge during this time, because I can get so caught up in the worry, the anxiety, the everything is different, and the mourning and the grieving, which is all legitimate. And as we said, I think is important to sit on for a little bit. And also, there are things to be grateful for, and there are times in which we can just sit in that gratefulness and soak that in, of those relationships or those opportunities that we're getting that we haven't gotten a chance to lean into previously. Either they've existed the whole time and we haven't taken the time to realize it, or it's a new opportunity that this specific circumstances is bringing up.
Yeah, and what I really like about that quote is, like, what is helpful right now? And I think it ties into conversations we've had as part of Care IQ. Is that something that we can be asking each other and checking in with ourselves? Is lots of things can be helpful,
yeah.
And some of them aren't available or accessible. And so what is helpful right now? Like, what is something in this moment that we can do for each other, whether it's 5 minutes on a phone call, or that walk outside, or a glass of water, or something that we can do to help regulate our bodies in a different way when we're experiencing those anxious feelings or those fearful feelings? So what are some of those things that we can do in this moment that are accessible to us?
I think that's really important, because we can get into, it can quickly snowball into the, well, if only I could do this, then I would feel better. And that might be true. And again, it's okay to grieve that. And yet it's not an opportunity for us right now. And so we can lift that up and recognize it, and also give space to let it go and to move on from that.
And I think drawing on resources and things that you've done in the past, we all have likely encountered hardship in one form or the other. And so while it's different during the coronavirus experience, but being able to look back and say, okay, when I was in a tough situation previously, what worked for me? What was helpful? And really looking at those opportunities to say, okay, connecting with loved ones was helpful, or, you know, journaling, or whatever that tool was for you, drawing on that past experience and trying that now.
For those that don't know, I struggle with anxiety previous to all of this, and that has definitely revved up during this time. And one of the things I've noticed about anxiety is that it really draws me into these hypothetical futures. And these hypothetical futures are consistently bad. They're catastrophic. And so one of the aspects of this that I've noticed for myself is that I can't make any meaning out of this, because every time I think about the future, get caught up in that anxiety, when I try to make meaning out of it, the future just kind of, that I've created in my head, just falls apart and or shifts so that it tears me away from that. Whereas when I've gone through bad things in my own life or walked with others as they've gone through horrible things, somehow there's always beauty that shows up in those moments. Or maybe not always, but in my experience, every time I've had it for myself or with others, there's some beauty, not that makes it all worth it or that makes it all better
or easy.
Mm-hmm. And yet it is there. And so I just want to caution for those of us that are caught up in these hypothetical futures of what things are going to look like, the more we sit in that, we really can't stay grounded, because that meaning making, it just falls apart like sand through our hands and then causes even more anxiety. Whereas when we are going through each step, we can take time to have that gratitude that we talked about.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about how do we work towards this life worth living amidst this? And, you know, we've already talked about some of the tools that we've been incorporating as part of previous series, some of the things that, you know, we've encountered, whether it's personally, professionally, as we're navigating these situations. But one thing we've been thinking about is, okay, like those big picture ideas are like, yes, ideally this would be done and everyone would be healthy and we'd have a vaccine and we'd have a cure and we'd know exactly how to prevent this from happening. And like Chris said, it can snowball and like all of a sudden become this big deal. But how do we stay grounded in today? And, you know, one of the things we've talked about is using kind of like a scaling question, which is a therapeutic tool, but kind of saying, okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, where am I today? Okay, I'm at a 3. What's something I can do momentarily to get myself to a 4? And it might just be for the next 5 minutes, but how do I work to get there? And then how can I maybe work to sustain that? And kind of just do that throughout the day or throughout the week, and kind of just, again, say, okay, where am I at? And what's one thing that I can do to momentarily help myself?
Yeah, and I think we're not skipping from a 3 to an 8. You know, it's not... how do I become perfect in this moment? It's how do I become just that smidge better? So maybe a 3 to a 4 even feels too big. So how about a 3 to a 1, 3.1? What would that look like in the midst of this? And so using those resources within our own brain of being creative, of what can make me just feel a little bit better in this moment, and not for eternity, not for the day even, but for the next little bit of time, which I think is really important.
Especially right now, because I feel like so much, at least for me, is changing, and that every day looks a little different. And so maybe what worked today isn't going to work tomorrow. And so that also creates space for kind of that individualization, or in the moment being able to reflect that. And I think this is certainly something that to also be able to ask each other is, again, like, how can I help you right now? Or, you know, because I can't be with you or physically, you know, be in your presence, like, how can I support you to identify something that's going to get you from a 5 to a 5.5 or a 6? And then how can we work towards sustaining a 7?
One of the quotes that we've heard kind of thrown around quite a bit was Fred Rogers, when he was a child, Mr. Rogers, asked his mom, you know, he was kind of overwhelmed by all the bad things on the news, and he asked his mom what to do about it, and his mom suggested to look for the helpers. And that has really just sat with me, especially working in a hospital, of realizing the amount of people that are the helpers right now, and how beautiful that is to experience those people that are willing to walk alongside others in the midst of chaos and potentially danger, and yet still willing to care and to love and to be present with each other, which is just really heartening for me in the midst of kind of chaos and hardship.
Yeah, and seeing where, as a community, we can help can definitely divert some distress and identify, you know, and move us towards those safer spaces. I think while for me, next door sometimes can be an overwhelming place to look, and sometimes there's a lot of negativity. I've seen some really cool stories about people who work at grocery stores who are like, I'm already here, so if you need me to pick things up and drop them at your doorstep, let me know. Or who are the older people in our community that that we can be grocery shopping for. Or, you know, I've seen a lot of moms sharing ideas of how they're navigating homeschooling, or, you know, dads are doing that, or, you know, that just sharing resources. And people have been sending out, like, even lists of websites to check out, whether it's for children or themselves. And so I think this has been a really cool time to see how we've been able to link together using technology.
Yeah. Or even, I loved the one that you picked out earlier. I guess it started in Canada, but that people are putting teddy bears in their windows so that kids can go on bear hunts in the car. And just how simple things like that really matter in these times and can change another person's perspective or feelings in the midst of really hard and difficult situations. And they're really simple sometimes, and we all can do it together. And not only do they make me feel good to help others, but they can also lift up someone else. I just saw a post on Facebook of one of my friends who makes sourdough, and that's how she's getting through this, and also how she's helping others to just deliver that to their doorstep in the midst of all of this.
And so I think what we wanted to call out is that while, you know, earlier Chris called out the helpers that are, you know, in the medical field or at the grocery store, and some of those that are more prominent amongst this pandemic, but also, like, we can all be helpers in our sphere of influence. And so just finding that space between, you know, spheres of influence and spheres of concern, which we've talked about before, but just, you know, what that can look like. And it might just be saying thank you, you know, just acknowledging how other people are helping, because you may be in a space where you don't feel like you have capacity to help others, but even being able to acknowledge how others are helping you can be a way that we're woven together.
Yeah, and I just to sit on that sphere of influence and sphere of concern, again, for someone who struggles with anxiety, I will often think of them as the same thing when I'm in an anxious state. And so bear that burden of the entire world of feeling completely overwhelmed and struggling with that. Like, I can't help anybody because I can't help everybody. And the reality of saying, okay, I can be concerned about everybody. I can create space for that concern within my own consciousness because it's there, and recognize that, and also recognize what is it that I actually have influence over in my world, and be realistic about what that looks like and what that feels like in the midst of all of this.
Yeah. So I think to kind of wrap things up is we just want to own the reality is that things have changed. And our typical days aren't typical days anymore. And all the feelings that are coming up and thoughts are okay. And you are likely not experiencing unique thoughts and feelings in this, and that can be shared amongst by others.
And there's also room for laughter and joy and gratitude in the midst of all of this, and taking moments to notice nature and notice just the world around us as it continues to be there, and that we continue to be there as a deeply woven community who we've had the blessing of practicing this in previous times that have felt, now looking back, a little easier than right now. And one of our mottos is practice when it's easy. And we got the opportunity to do that. And not to say that our lives were completely easy before this, because that's not true. We've been through stuff, each and every one of us. And yet we were able to spend some time practicing those things. And now we get the opportunity to lean into them and to be creative and to allow hope to be there. And I really like that quote that we found from Maya Angelou.
Yeah. Hope and fear cannot occupy the same space. Invite one to stay.
Yeah. And so how do we do that? And how do you do that? And how do we do that as a community? And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited about the ways in which we have the opportunity to hit a reset button and to work towards that as a community, as a culture, as a world, And we each have that sphere of influence that we can work on and focus on and lift up and be mindful of in the midst of all of this, both in that space of prayer, in that space of virtualness, and in the space of practicality and practicalness. So I just invite all of us to dream and to dream together, because that's what we need right now is community. And it looks different, it feels weird, and yet now is the time that it's more important than ever. So thank you for being Fabric with us, with me, with Jenny, with our kids.
And to practice gratitude, Fabric is something that we're grateful for and are curious and looking forward to continuing the conversation about how we can weave those three strands together and what it looks like and how we can be a part of that with you and how we can bring that to our families and to ourselves. So thank you for joining us in our home and allowing us to be awkward and in our attempt to be brave and kind, and we're here with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Keep this conversation going with the people in your life. Share this podcast and resources. If you're looking to support this work financially, go to fabricmpls.com/give. A 5-star rating and review will also help others find us. Thanks again.